You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Folks, Mother's Day is around the corner, and let me talk to you about 1-800-Flowers. I can't wait. Every year, it's a tradition. I send stuff to my mother, my mother-in-law, and my wife because they are three amazing moms. They're better than all your moms out there. You think you have good moms? No, I have good moms in my life. I'm just kidding. This was a little harsh. I'm sure you guys all have good moms too. From your mom to the mother of your children and all the moms in between, this Mother's Day, give back to the ones that have given you everything. 1-800-Flowers helps you celebrate all amazing moms, from homemade bouquets, sweet treats, gourmet food, and one-of-a-kind gifts, ordered easily and delivered fresh. For a limited time, you can save up to 40% off Mother's Day bestsellers at 1-800-Flowers.com/Dan. Don't wait. Order today and save up to 40% at 1-800-Flowers.com/Dan.
Now's a good time to remember where the story of tequila started. In 1795, the first tequila distillery was opened by the Cuervo family. And 229 years later, Cuervo is still going strong. Family-owned from the start, same family, same land. Now's a good time to enjoy Cuervo, the tequila that invented tequila. Go to Cuervo.com to shop tequila or visit a store near you. Cuervo, now's a good time.
Trademarks owned by Becle, SAB, the CV. Copyright 2024, Proximo. Jersey City, New Jersey. Please drink responsibly.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
This is the Dan Le Batard Show with the Stugatz Podcast.
So Stugatz is looking into everything Cameo related. He has just opened up the doors to Cameo, and we're not going to actually do this today because this is going to be a content farm later this week. But he just got taken aback by the sheer number of requests that he has received. Do you have a number there, Stugatz? Do you have an actual count?
So I have right now, I have not even put it out on social media yet. This has not been released yet, so no one even really knows that I'm active and live, and I already have about $1,200 in requests right now. One of them just simply wants me to scream Murray and send that to him. I love this. I will do that gladly for $39. So this is working out swimmingly for me, man.
Okay, we will do this tomorrow on air so you could just double dip on both things where you're making money. You're making severance for not working for ESPN, and you could do Cameo videos during the show where all of a sudden, I think that's a good bit where I'm trying to do the show and you're just occasionally talking into your phone doing, and I'm sure people would like to have you just talking during the show. So I do want to get, though, because we were genuinely moved by what it is that happened yesterday, an outpouring at ESPN that was super kind and emotional and freeing, really, because it was a hearty and lovely goodbye, and the audience was very loving as well, mad at ESPN for allowing that to happen. And so I want to read this email from a listener, and we get a lot of things like this, but usually they're not quite this strange.
Were you surprised by the amount of listeners who were mad at ESPN? Well, because we came off, and we are, and we still are, and we will be grateful to ESPN for those platforms. They helped. We had a big audience when we got there. Those platforms helped grow this audience and introduce this show that you and I love so much and our producers love so much to people that otherwise never would have heard of the show, Dan. I'm grateful for that. I hope they are, too. Maybe the listeners don't like that the show grew, but well, I was surprised by their reaction to ESPN yesterday.
One of the things that you've gotten to enjoy in the last 15 years of us doing this that I have not gotten to enjoy quite as much is you aren't as polarizing as me. You weren't used as a political tool the way that I was. I remember the first time this happened because I've been polarizing as a columnist. It's almost a columnist's job to be polarizing. So I've been since my 20s, somebody who elicits reactions, and I don't get to be popular guy because there are plenty of people who have a strong distaste for me. But over the last 10 years, it's gotten worse when Breitbart turned me into a political tool and made me someone who was political just because I was always talking about race.
Right.
I wasn't actually ever talking about politics. This is the code. It's why I told
Never.
You. It's why I told you this Reagan documentary is so good. If you want to see the seeds for what it is that happened in America this year in politics, go back to what happened with Reagan, because in watching that, I was such a kid back then. I was, you know, 12 years old. Watching that documentary, all that stuff was there back then. All the things, it foretold all of it. It's just more brazen now. It's less ashamed now. And so I arrived in a place over the last 10 years where I was turned into a political tool that was even more polarizing. And then over the last 4 years, it's gotten worse than it's ever been because of what was being fomented and what was being instigated by the leader of our country, who at this point, on top of everything else that you can say about him in terms of corruption and possible criminal and everything else, the man turned into great profit for himself what seems to be behavior that can reasonably be considered not mentally well. Like, at this point, he just seems lost and unwell. And so over the last 4 years, the idea that he could get 70 million followers to vote for what seems like mentally unstable and unwell by stirring these particular things, right, with the police force and with immigrants and with foreigners, like just hitting the same sort of notes all the time, it has been even worse. It's been unpleasant. So to answer your question the roundabout way, what we got yesterday, what I specifically got yesterday, is almost totally foreign to me. I don't know. In fact, I shouldn't say it's totally foreign, because it happened when we rehired Chris Cody. That's where it started, where I was sure, like, taken aback by what I just thought was the simple and most obvious thing and just the right thing to do.
Yes.
To just,
thanks for that.
Well, he's a decent human being.
Your father can thank me at any point by doing it back in my day. We'll see if he gets around to that at any point.
I mean, we're trying to tell the audience the show hasn't changed. It's a Tuesday. It's a Greg Cody Tuesday. They love Greg Cody. And the first time we have a chance to show him, hey, this is exactly the same as it's always been, Greg does not come with it.
Oh, wow.
But it honestly hasn't changed.
I'm a little
That's
bit
about
upset.
On par.
Yeah, you're right.
Sorry, Greg. Stugatz almost always sides with Cody on that one. And this is the first time that we're all sort of looking around. Oh, I mean, this is because Greg doesn't like sometimes that he's painted as the bleep hole unfairly. But in this particular case, I believe it's a totally fair appraisal. You are the whole of an ass.
No, I've talked before. It's a quality control issue. QCI, really. I mean, you know,
he's not going to give you anything on like admitting any flaws here. He's just going to keep going back to the quality control. I ran out of ideas. Like, Dad, just look in the mirror a little bit here.
Admit it. Chris, would you do me the favor of calling your mother? I just want to talk to her for a second on air and just ask her how frustrating it is to be married to somebody who simply won't ever admit that he's wrong about anything. And just it is an exasperation. I also want to ask her how weird she thinks Uncle Dick is, because I think that could be
I've been married a long time. I have to admit I'm wrong on a daily basis. Trust okay. me.
All right. Boy.
Well, let's really. So you do it there. Okay. So it's only with us that you're the whole of an ass. It's
well,
not.
My wife's not asking me to do a back of my day every bleeping week.
I wasn't asking you. I was paying you. Nobody was asking you. It was just your job. Like, it wasn't like we were asking you for a favor. We were just asking you to do your one job.
Is she asking for anything once a week at this point?
You don't have to go there.
Baby. Yeah.
All right. Please call Arlene Cody. I want to speak to her on air, but I want to read this email.
How do we do that? Like, Mike, do I give you the number? What's the deal here?
See if she can join us via Zoom. And if she can't, then only do
forewarn her, please.
Okay.
How do we do this? How do we make a phone call?
Big news, Jeff Saturday in the office.
Jeff Saturday has sat in the office after an hour of silence. We are now staring at the face of a very bored Jeff Saturday. who's got a blue pocket square that matches his tie and just stuck a finger in his nose.
Okay, yep. Let's just tread very lightly here. Honestly, I can understand your confusion because Dan asked you to call your mom. It was just very weird.
I just want someone to call Earlene Cody so I could get to the bottom of this. But here is this email I've been wanting to read, and it's a little bit long, so bear with me. My grandma died on New Year's Day 2019, and she left me money. So I decided that I was finally going to visit Miami and stay at the Clevelander. I'd wanted to for years. It was shortly after you guys released the shirts because I got mine like days before the plane took off from Detroit. I couldn't check in yet, but I got to the Clevelander bar just in time to watch the show on ESPN News, except the bar didn't get that channel, neither did my hotel room, by the way. So I sat at the bar listening on my headphones. Roy came down and stood next to me because he'd ordered chicken. I was too nervous to say anything to him, even though we'd been Twitter friends for years. The next day, I went back to the bar and listened to the show wearing my Stugatz Army shirt, talking to the cool bartenders. Billy and Chris got sent to the ocean together. It was a scene replayed on the TV show countless times. When they came back from the ocean, they stopped and talked to me. They were smiling so big, and we were just cutting it up like a couple of menches. The next day was my 40th birthday. I went to the outside bar at the Clevelander to have my midnight birthday fun. It was raining cats and dogs, though, so they closed down at like 1:30. So I walked down Ocean looking for the first place I could find open. I went to the Voodoo Lounge. I paid the cover and got in and found that it was a hookah bar. And aside from the DJ, I was the only white dude, hashtag big fat white face. I was having a great time, and people were excited that it was my birthday. I went to take a selfie, and that's where I think someone slipped something in my drink. I don't get fall down drunk because I'm 300 pounds, especially after only drinking a couple of drinks in a few hours, but I was falling down walking back to the hotel. Thankfully, it was only a couple of blocks. The people working helped me get to my room, and I fell down right inside the door and passed out. A couple hours later, I woke up because I had to pee, but I couldn't pull myself off the floor and peed all over myself. In my infinite wisdom, I figured I could save on baggage fees by not packing any extra pants because I was only going for 4 days. Put that on the poll, Guillermo. Do you do that? If you are going on a trip for 4 days, do you bring a single pair of pants? Because I'm sure many people do that. So I washed my pants in the sink with soap and hoped to dry them off with a complimentary hairdryer, but there wasn't one. I tried to order new pants, but I'm a schmuck and couldn't figure it out. So I sat in my room waiting on the pants to dry before I could go out and enjoy the rest of my birthday. I wanted to watch the sunrise on the beach and go to the zoo. When 3 p.m. rolled around, I said, screw it, and went down to the bar with damn pants. They were black, didn't smell, nobody could tell. When I walked into the bartender screamed, happy birthday, you just missed Stan Van Gundy. He was sitting right there. I laughed because that's just how my life and the show are so familiar. A brilliant calamity. I had told her the day before that I love Stan Van Gundy. I'm a Pistons fan and a social justice warrior, and was hoping to maybe meet him and shake his hand. I missed out because I got drugged taking a rare picture of myself on my 40th birthday. So apropos. I sat down and started drinking alone with the bartender, talking and having a good time, and Allison came down. I was wearing my live animal shirt, so she knew I was a fanboy. We were talking and talking, and it was as awkward as I'd always imagined it would be. Then she ran upstairs and bought me a Chris Sims coffee mug with all the numbers on it. It was the only birthday present I got. The next day was the event at Jay Wakefield where you could try different beers and vote. I voted for Roy because he's my man. I met Juju and Izzy and got to buy a beer for Greg. And Mike Ryan too-sweeted me because he saw I was wearing my Rainbow Finn Balor shirt. I don't know who that is.
Balor, you nerd.
I saw Meech. I didn't see you or Stu, but I met a lot of people like me over the course of the week, and it was the best and most memorable birthday of my life. I reread a message I sent to the woman who did the teaching at our church on Sunday, and I thought of you. After everything you've done and everything you've been to so many people, I wanted to send it to you. Quote, you helped give me strength to talk today. It was a bad day mentally, and I just wanted to listen and not talk because I could barely speak without breaking down. Thank you for everything you do. Never doubt yourself. And then he ends the note with, don't ever doubt yourself, brother. We love you. We felt so much of that yesterday. I don't know how to explain it to you, and I don't know how to explain to you how uncommon it is, because it has next to nothing to do with sports radio, Stugatz. It does not matter how much any of you have ever loved the sports radio show before. For some reason, our dysfunctional family triggers something like that and brings you here to hear me get frustrated by Grandpa Cody. to see the family dynamics in play, because we are very much the pirate ship of family dysfunction that that annoys each other and loves each other, and you feel that, yeah, and you share that, and you support that in a way that has given us permission. If you were listening yesterday to the Big Suey, and this happened to me on television too, where I couldn't get through it without blubbering, and I was hugely scared, Stugatz, because because of what I've experienced the last 13 years or 30 years of polarization, like, I can't trust the strangers with my vulnerability. It and I try to be.
Yesterday was a weird day for you, feeling all the love. That was uncommon for you.
It was
felt very good, though, right?
I mean, of course it felt good, yeah, because this is scary, Stugatz. What we're doing, this has been a dream. I never dreamed of working for ESPN. I didn't want to work for ESPN. You guys know these stories. This is something that was best for the show. I would have been fine. And by the way, the radio show would have died if I had kept doing it my way, if I hadn't been coaxed by the desires of the community, of the group here, to you have to go do this. And because I wanted to be Miami, and because there was no job for me that was more Miami than the ones that I had, which was doing PTI as the Miami Herald columnist, doing an afternoon radio show as a Miami newspaper writer.
I do want to point this out, that this was, Dan struggled with this for a while. This was a very difficult decision. Mike and I, and I think the rest of the crew, we really pushed to go to ESPN because we thought it was the right thing for the show. Dan wanted to just do the show for Miami. And I understood why at the time, and I think he understood why I wanted to go to ESPN.
I was wrong. I was simply wrong.
It turned out to be the right decision, yes, I think. It did. But Dan really struggled with it for many months.
Not, I think, yeah, Stugatz. It's indisputably, yeah, the right decision, because none of what's I would have perished a dinosaur without evolving if I had still, like, I mean, we probably still would have had an afternoon radio show, but you've seen what's happened to afternoon radio.
Sure.
Like, you've seen how many people have gotten let go, and the market has sort of collapsed because of the existence of things like this that allow the experience to steal the terrestrial audience.
I mean, it happened to us on our home station, a station that we kept afloat for so long through different hierarchies over there. We got taken off. The local hour got taken off that we were doing for free for a couple of years for $7.90 the ticket. They decided to go in a different direction. We got moved to 560 The Joe, and now we're not on South Florida radio at all.
That one hurts me. You guys know how much that one hurts me. We have taken a year. We have been scrambling here, and I am exhausted right now, and we have been exhausted for a while because we have taken some public losses that I think began with that one, did it not? Losing the local hour on local radio, which, incidentally, like, that's not something I ever wanted to happen. That is something that had to happen because of negotiations in which it was being said that if I'm doing that much work, 4 hours a day, and then television, that you're not getting my best work at the end of the day when I'm trying to do television. It's a television company. It's not a radio company. And so they were trying to ease the burden on my workload, because if you look around, not a whole lot of people are doing a 4-hour radio show and a television show. Hell, John Oliver, to get that kind of quality, you got a half-hour show that basically a bunch of writers take 1 week to produce, because it's not this diarrhea stream that is just perpetually belching out content. And so under the terms of our last agreement, I had to leave the local hour. And I had to leave the local hour. And what happened after that was just a series of things that changed with terrestrial radio. And then the local hour disappeared. And I don't think there's something that's hurt me more of all the things that have happened. No offense to you, Chris, because that one hurt. But I don't think there was anything that hurt me more than losing the local hour. But terrestrial radio is not what it was. And I'm genuinely curious, because I don't know, Stugatz, where we're going to end up in 30 or 60 days. I don't know the nature of the offers, what they're going to look like. I know nothing as we jump into the breach, at least in part because of the loyalty of people like that who will buy our t-shirts and come to the Clevelander and be thrilled and have the happiest birthday of their life, because they get to see Chris and Billy walking back in from the ocean. And Chris and Billy, of course, have just a human common touch because they don't think of themselves as any kind of celebrities that anybody would want to meet. And so all of a sudden they're taking pictures with somebody and making someone's birthday because our show has those connection points on intimacy that are super rare for sports radio.
This show, it's about sports, but it's also, I think you and I have tried to make it relatable to as many people as possible, whether it's me with my kids and my wife and the marriage stuff we talk about. We're a family. We're a dysfunctional family. We don't mind showing our warts. We don't mind celebrating for each other. We don't mind breaking each other's stones a little bit because that's what family does. And I think that's what makes this show very relatable to so many people. And maybe they feel like they're part of a family. I do agree with Chris in the chat here where I think we kind of buried something within that very nice letter. Miami's dangerous, man. That dude came down here and got drugged.
I hope he's all right.
We just really kind of went right past that. Like, if it wasn't a big deal at all. Like, someone should investigate that.
The staff at that bar walked him back to his hotel. That's a great staff right there. I mean, Miami has great people, but they'll also drug you.
I feel bad for the cleaning people at the Clevelander. I feel like I befriended them over the years, and they walked into a room that the floor was peed. What do you do about that? And how do you explain, well, I was drugged, that's why I peed on the floor, and I only have one pair of pants?
Have any of you ever been drugged? I don't think I've told this story before. Have any of you ever gotten drugged in any sort
yeah.
of situation?
Oh, Jesus Christ.
What are we talking about, boys?
But did someone else shove it up your nose is what he's asking.
Well, like, how do you mean?
So this is the story. I'm going to go ahead and tell the story because it is a pretty good story that ends up in a pretty funny place. Let me see how I tell this story without. Oh, God. It's the only time I've ever cheated on a girlfriend. Okay. Because.
Yeah.
That skepticism was unnecessary. I don't feel
we're
like
into a
the one time you got caught was the only time you did it.
No, I wasn't caught. I was not caught. I was just drugged.
Just kidding. I'm sorry.
Convenient excuse.
Okay.
Cranking up the excuse machine.
Okay. Very good. Thank you. And this is what I was saying before about how it is that not even people here can be trusted with my vulnerability. So we are out. What was the name? Is it Tarpon Bend in Fort Lauderdale?
Hell yeah.
Oh, been there.
Love that place. Oh.
Dan Uglis still there in his sandals and jeans.
No, mm-hmm.
With a cigarette.
No, he would go to, what is that?
Off the hookah. Off the hookah.
Off the
Fort Lauderdale.
Automatic
Slims is the one that Ugla would
That's
go
Ugla's
to.
That's place, man.
As someone that went to Slims with Ugla once, and Jeremy Hermita in an Affliction shirt,
wow.
let me get one thing out there. The night's always started at the Bend for Dan Ugla.
It was just Jeremy Hermita who was in the Affliction shirt? Because I imagine always Dan Ugla wearing shirts that have rhinestones.
Yeah, I thought it went without saying that Ugla was also wearing an Affliction shirt.
Are those
shirt.
Still a thing? Are,
no.
Nobody,
for
no,
Ugla, they are. No.
Yeah, I guarantee you Ugla's still rocking the bedazzled
the Ed Hardy.
Ed Hardy and Affliction shirts.
All right,
I thought Hermita was going to be good, man.
Oh, he should have been great.
Are you guys, put it on the poll, Guillermo, at Lebatard Show. Can you put on the poll, have you ever owned a bedazzled rhinestone Affliction type of shirt? Yes or no? When did those go out of fashion? Was it 10 years ago? Was it more than that?
Man.
No, it was more than 10 years ago, I think.
Early 2000s, I feel
2009,
like.
Yeah. Like, if you were still rocking it, you were... You need to take a look in the mirror.
Does the internet work well enough for us to be able to check how Affliction is just generally doing as a business? Like,
no,
if they
don't
close
that
down
right now, because I'm trying to send hour number one. It's taken 25 minutes.
Is that right? Is that really what's happening?
Yeah,
so,
we've got to improve the bandwidth. Don't worry, it'll be out there.
So you don't want me to use any bandwidth? Is
don't
what you're
use
saying?
Don't use anything.
Okay.
Right.
Okay.
Do
you want me to shut down?
Don't Google. Right.
Don't use any computers.
No, I moved to another computer because I was doing it off the one that had the Zoom.
Quick Cameo updates. You got Stan Dockage charges more than you do on Cameo.
Listen, I'm telling you, I underpriced myself. I did it as a gag, as a joke. I wanted to be a dollar less than Greg and Chris Cody. I have so many requests coming in. I don't know what to do. I just told Addison to up the price. I mean, I have to. But then all the people who got me at 39, they're going to feel like they got a bargain. This is a disaster. I mean, I'm with Greg now. I'm pissed at Addison.
You and I define disaster differently.
I shouldn't have said that. I'm sorry. Not a disaster.
Go ahead and tell him to up the price now. And you gave a bargain as a joke. It's a nice gesture. And now you up the price because you're not going to be able to do that many. You're not going to be able to do, no matter how greedy you are, thousands of cameos when you get home. Like, you're about to realize, oh, really, Greg? You think he's going to be able to? What's the number at right now before you've even put it on social media?
Because I've done a thing yet. The number of cameos that
you need to send, or we can't use the bandwidth to find out how many cameos you have because we can't use the bandwidth on your phone.
Mike, this is the last bit of bandwidth I'm using just to give Dan a number.
It legitimately went from 75% back to 57.
Okay, I'm done. 53 requests so far. I have not promoted a thing. I mean,
53 requests. Okay, that's not so bad though. 53 requests ends up in more than $1,200.
Yeah, exactly. So I just told him to up the price. So
okay.
He's up in the price.
All right. So I thought it was many more requests than that. 53 is not an avalanche. That is manageable. I thought, for some reason, I had in my head that you had thousands of requests that it snowballed quickly.
This guy says, he goes, how many requests are you up to? I want to respond, that's your job, Addison. But I didn't do that yet. So he is saying that there are north. This is now. So I'm getting him on the app. He said there are north of 100 requests. So he is now setting the price up to $55. That's his, just to slow it down for a second. Otherwise, I'll be doing these all night.
Greg, Cody's
53 or 100. What's happening?
Well, Addison's seeing something different than what I'm seeing. So that's what he's saying. So he has set the price now at $55 because he wants it to slow down because he says I won't be able to keep up, and that's important.
Greg, Cody, why are you making faces? What you're objecting to what there?
Well, the whole idea that Cameo raises and lowers prices unilaterally.
They don't. It's one guy who's helping you.
I asked him to do it. I asked him to do it, Greg.
Plus, they're only 30 seconds, right? So you knock them off, rat-a-tat-tat, you know.
You're going to be terrible at this. If you want it to be good, you have to put a little effort into it.
Oh, I'm all about effort. That's my middle name.
Greg Effort Cody.
Right. People used to call me Greg Effin Cody growing up just to mess with me.
Why doesn't the machine work?
Oh, you gotta power cycle and blow in it.
Yeah. Blow on it, yeah.
Will that affect our bandwidth if I blow on the...
No, that's lo-fi, Dan. That's an analog machine right there. Old school.
This is not working for me the way that this machine.
I got you, Dan.
You shut up. You've done enough.
Hey!
Look at that. Just like the old days.
That was a really good impression.
Thank you.
So I'm at Tarpon Bent.
Oh, yeah.
Would you have forgotten and I could have wandered somewhere else and totally. Not because I'm caught up
yeah,
in the air here.
Again.
I really don't want to actually tell this story because
you
it's,
brought it back.
I know
my man.
I did. Well, I felt an obligation. You know what's funny? I felt a funny tug. I felt a funny tug.
I bet you did, killer.
Maybe.
Tugging it.
Was that before or after each kid?
Our kids have said to us since we moved to Minnesota, we are far more active than we've ever been anywhere else we've ever lived.
Moving to Minnesota opened up a lot of doors for us.
Just this overall sense of community, of values that, you know, Minnesotans have.
It's a real accepting, loving community, especially with two young kids.
See what makes Minnesota the Star of the North. New residents share why they love calling it home at exploreminnesota.com/live.